is the Day Zero update for October 29th, 2017. I'm Filippo D'Anolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Reb Victoria.
And in this pre-Halloween episode, we have absolutely nothing spooky to talk about. So yeah, don't look forward to that. But we do have a lot of stuff that we've been playing this week, because it's been kind of an eventful week otherwise. So to get into that.
Oh yeah.
Yep. For me, it's Forza 7. I'm wrapping that up. It will be interesting. Let's just put it that way. Other than that, I also just downloaded Zwei the Livard Insurrection, and haven't had a chance to start that yet because it just finished downloading like 10 minutes ago. So, yeah.
Pretty sure it's Ilvard.
Ilvard? Yeah. Ilvard. Well, whatever it is.
They should have just called it Zwei 2 Plus like they do in every other market.
Yeah. Just make it, you know, hard for me, you know, IL, dyslexia. Whatever. But that's downloaded. It looks like the kind of thing I would really get into. So, yeah, I can't wait to play that and see what it's all about, because it looks just bananas. Like, very, very quirky Japanese-style dungeon crawler, which I think I could probably get into, and it might tide me over until Tokyo Xanadu comes out in December, so... Yeah. So I'm looking forward to
it's coming out in December? I didn't know that.
Yep. So, yeah. And there are some people I've seen that have their PlayStation Vita copies already.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's not Xseed, that's Axis. So
okay.
Yeah. So we'll have be interesting if we can snag a copy of that, but we'll see.
Pretty sure we can. We'll see. Yeah.
So other than that, how about you, Pat?
As I mentioned on Let's Weekend, I did play Doki Doki Literature Club, filling my usual quota of one good visual novel a year. Don't really want to say much about it, except that I highly recommend experiencing it. Just set aside an afternoon, go in completely blind, don't read articles about it or whatever, and just experience it in its as much of its entirety as you feel necessary. I really feel like a lot of the design, and especially the villain, warrants a lot of discussion and a lot of influence on gaming moving forward, because it's not something that could really work out if it became commonplace. But there are interesting design choices that I think in small doses could really go a long way. So, I'm glad I played it. Street Fighter V is constantly a thing. At least, until I get some kind of viable Alpha 2 or Super Turbo alternative on modern platforms. But... other than that, I've started playing some of the random SNES classic stuff because my roommates got one of those a couple days ago. In fact, on Let's Weekend the other night when I kind of disappeared, I headed downstairs because dinner arrived, but we got caught up playing Hyper Fighting, and that was the rest of our night.
Yeah. Have you gotten around to hacking it yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, it's like so stupidly easy to do. It's like it's almost a requirement, basically.
Yeah, and it's like I told them, and we're probably required by law to at least put Chrono Trigger on there.
Yeah, I mean, you could put Chrono Trigger on there. You could put...
that really good Breath of Fire 2 remake.
Yeah, probably Tales of... what is it? Fantasia probably run on that.
Yeah.
So you already got Star Fox 2 because that came with it. I'm wondering if you got a chance to try that at all.
No. Apparently you have to play through the first stage of the first game to unlock it.
Yeah.
But we haven't even gotten around to touching that game yet. So.
Report back.
I'm really interested in their reactions to it in particular, because I guess Tony didn't have a Super NES.
Yeah.
So he played Final Fantasy VI one time up to like where the party gets split up on the raft.
Yeah.
And that was about it. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing how he reacts to Final Fantasy VI as a whole. Super Metroid is another one that he never played, but he loves Symphony of the Night. Hmm. So, yeah, I'm kind of jealous. Just he's getting the chance to experience all these games for the first time now.
Hmm.
And so I'm kind of experiencing that vicariously through him.
Yeah.
Just because I've played them multiple times over the years. And yeah, it's an experience.
Yeah. How was it actually finding one, though? Apparently.
I wasn't in on that whole process. I just, I was literally sitting here getting ready for the Let's Weekend podcast. I get a text message and Tony took a picture of, guess what we got?
It's like, oh, yeah. Well, you must have just been at the store at the right time.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
So that's been my week.
All right. What about you, Chris?
So I've been continuing to play Super Mario Odyssey and enjoying it a lot. And sort of coming to the realization that the challenges you're doing for the moons are kind of like the Korok seeds in Breath of the Wild.
Oh, God damn it.
There are tons of them. Hundreds. Just alone in that Sand Kingdom, I think I have like 34 of them. So you get some of them in bunches, like three, I think, is the one I got for beating the boss. And so you can sort of get some of that, but a lot of them are singles. And a lot of them just require you to do some weird stuff, like in the Sand Kingdom, there's some areas where the controller just starts rumbling. And so you start getting this hint of that the HD rumble stuff, and you sort of try and figure out the point where it's strongest, and then you do a butt stomp, and out pops the moon. There's lots of little weird stuff like that. There's a, I think like a toucan and a fedora that offers you hints, or not really hints, but tells you the title of challenges you've missed. So you can sort of say, oh, okay, now where would that be?
Okay, back up a sec. You did just say toucan and a fedora.
Yeah.
Okay, just being sure.
As Bird just hangs out in a certain part of the level, she says, hey, I got a secret for you. I'm not going to tell you, but I'll give you a clue. You get the title.
Hmm.
In the first one, the one with the dinosaur, I think I have like two left, but I couldn't necessarily figure out where the heck those were, because that level is fairly small, especially compared to the Sand Kingdom. But yeah, it's really interesting. And one of the things I actually like most about Super Mario Odyssey does the thing that I've been wanting Nintendo to do for a long time, is they got rid of lives, finally.
Yeah,
No longer do you have to have this stupid and arbitrary thing that's kind of ruined some of their previous Mario games, like Galaxy. They nearly fucked up the ending for me because I had probably like 20 or 30 lives, went to quit, and come back the next day, and I had 5. Because why? I don't know. Okay, I'm playing it right now. I just put the head on a rocket ship and flew into space. So I don't know what's going on. This game is crazy. Okay. Oh yeah, they have these challenges where you lose your hat, kind of like in, I guess, Sunshine, where the Mario, the invisible Mario or whatever, takes your flood pack.
Yeah.
And so then you're getting a challenge of, like, get through here without the hat.
Hmm.
Out Cappy, which is pretty neat. Okay. Yeah, the costumes are pretty cool. At least in this Sand Kingdom level, there are two currencies. There's the gold, which you can just keep collecting since there's no purpose to them being like a way to get lives. So I have like 800 of them. But you can use that to buy certain costumes and hats. Or you can spend the purple coins that are in each level. There's like 100 of them in the Sand Kingdom. There's 50 of the ones in the previous one. But those ones unlock their own costumes. And so there's like one special area that you can get to with the one of the costumes you can buy, because you have to like dress like the Mexican skeletons.
Yeah.
And so it's like, hey, when you look like us, you can get in. And that's like a room where they just Mario just gets a just dances to some music. And it's a pretty fun little thing. And there's just lots of little weird challenges. In the same way, there were like lots of little weird things you had to do for Korok seeds. Some of it was just, hey, I went over here and picked this up because it's just sitting there. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to playing more of this. I also played some of Hidden Agenda, which is the new game from Supermassive that is very much inspired by Until Dawn, but is applying it to more of a kind of cop thriller sort of thing.
Okay.
It's part of their PlayLink line, which is sort of the, hey, you can play with multiple people by syncing with a phone sort of thing. There's an app that you download. I think it's specific to each game, so there's a Hidden Agenda app, as well as one for That's You and a couple of the other games. So far I played the first part of it, and so far it's been pretty good. Use the phone to highlight stuff. It'll say, hey, there's three clues in this area. Can you highlight them? And it gives you like a timer to do it. And shows you like, hey, there's footprints, there's a bag, and then there's like a picture. I'm like, okay, I gotta look for those three things. And that gives you just all of the kind of potential for evidence for whatever case you're looking at right there. Sort of adds a little bit of gaming element to it. Sort of the way that they didn't have to do with Until Dawn. Just because like the whole streaming thing is a big part of this, where you're sort of playing with friends, or I assume you could stream it on Twitch and do it that way as well.
Yeah.
There's like a competitive mode specifically for having those, like at least like four people, three or four people, where it's like you can make dialogue choices, or yeah, I guess it's dialogue choices. Like, hey, do you want to be you know, empathetic with this response, or do you want to be a jerk with this response, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, whatever option gets, like, the majority gets the pick. There's, like, a whole thing that's described on the app that sort of suggests there's ways to steal, like, bonus power-ups in a sense of, like, hey, you got the Hidden Agenda that gives you, like, a way to take over the game and sort of screw everybody else out of making the choice for that option, which is a great thing for, like, if you have trolley friends that just want to be a dick and fuck up the whole thing, or all that sort of stuff. But it's pretty cool the way they did this. You also use the touch for just making choices. You just slide over the cursor to whichever choice you want. But also you can sort of pause it from there and just look through it gives you like information like, hey, this is what this character's been doing. This is sort of the choices you've made and how that's affecting things, all that sort of stuff, which is really cool. So far the most interesting of these PlayLink games for me, especially since it's very much inspired by Until Dawn, which I loved a lot. So I'm looking forward to playing some more of that, seeing how the rest of it goes. But for $20, it's been a lot of fun to play. I've also been playing more Hitman, mainly on Xbox One, just trying to get through more of the levels, especially with the announcement of the Game of the Year edition, where they're releasing a new campaign to go with this, where it's not really new missions, but it's based in some of the same levels.
Yeah.
And essentially is telling a different story. I think you can get it in a full package for $60 if you don't have any of it, $20 if you do have all of it. So I'll be paying $20. You get, I think, 4 new missions and some new costumes. There's like a clown costume just to show that they're still having the ridiculous stuff in there.
Yeah.
Which is always good. And it's sort of their first thing they've been doing since they went independent. They're also bringing back the elusive targets. So anybody that missed those the first time around can try them, but if you failed, you still can't play them.
Hmm.
So I'm still waiting for some sort of archive mode where you can just play them and enjoy like whatever spin they put on these things, just purely for the gameplay aspect of it. Like it's one of the feature contracts that they have in there that are either really good community ones or developer-made ones that are like, hey, you got to go after this guy, but do these things in a specific way that puts a nice little twist on it versus just replaying the same missions over and over again.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's been a lot of fun. I'm curious to see how that improves in loading times with the X, if any at all, though. I've said before, my key sort of test is Defense Grid 2, which loads like crap on Xbox One.
Yes.
It's like a minute compared to like 15 on PS4. It makes no sense. But yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Dan Reb?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on the show, so I've played quite a bit since then. Just go ahead and go with what I've beaten. Found some time to finally play through the Uncharted DLC, or standalone DLC, I should say, and The Lost Legacy. The latest Uncharted is pretty good. The main thing, though, is I don't know whether you should consider it as a DLC or a standalone title. Whether or not you think of it as either will kind of like affect your judgment of the game, but the bottom line is that it's more Uncharted. That's never a bad thing, and there really isn't a lot of bad things I have to say about it. The story is solid. You end up using Chloe Fraser with her partner being Nadine, who's actually one of the antagonists in Uncharted 4. And a lot of the mechanics are pretty much the same in what you'd expect. The main thing that it does differently is that there's one portion of the game where it's actually open world. So you actually get to drive around these mountains and try to get all these treasures that'll actually help you find treasure later on in the game. So it's kind of like what Chris was talking about in Super Mario Odyssey, where you just walk around and all of a sudden your controller will vibrate if you're near any of Uncharted's hidden treasure, which is actually pretty hard to find because there are just sparkles on the ground that are pretty hard to see. And yeah, it's a solid title that takes about maybe 8 hours to finish, so if you're looking for another Uncharted game, this is a good one. And it also pretty much shows that even though the main story is over, Naughty Dog can continue to make them. There's really no issue there. I also finished the second chapter of Life is Strange Before the Storm, which some of you know that I actually hated the first series, mainly because of the way it ended. But because it's a prequel, I don't really have to worry about all that too much. You already know what happens to the main character if you've played the original, so it's really just seeing what she was all about before, you know, Max comes back home and doing all that stuff. The main thing I don't like with the second chapter is the fact that the new feature, which is the backtalk feature, where Chloe just tries to argue her way out of situations, is pretty much avoidable here, and I would have liked it to be forced so that you'd be able to see the different kind of dynamic with her relationship with other characters. I've also had the time to pop in Metroid Samus Returns. I've never actually beaten Metroid 2 on the Game Boy, but I do have it, but you know, you don't really want to go back to a black and white Game Boy game. Solid. I'm liking it so far, but the controls are a bit finicky. They work for what it tries to do. I mean, you actually have the ability to aim wherever you want while stationary. There's a parry technique that you can use on enemies that are coming at you fast, and if you use it successfully, it'll stun the enemy, allowing you to kill it more easily. And just the way the maps are designed are totally great. Like, I know that indies make Metroidvanias all the time, but there's really nothing like playing an actual Metroid game. So we can talk about the flack Nintendo gets for making their own Metroid 2, but it's solid for what it is. I've also been playing some WWE 2K18. This is actually the first wrestling game I've played since the Aki days on the N64, and holding that to its standard, this game kind of sucks. I hate the controls. The only reason why I actually play it is so I can change some wrestler intros, but other than that, I'm really not all that impressed, which is upsetting because 2K really did a good job marketing this game, and the roster is impressive, but I don't know, I just find it unplayable. So, yeah. I've also gone to South Park The Fractured Butthole. I think I'm near the end, or how long to beat says it takes around 18 hours. I'm at 12 hours now, but yeah. I don't know when I'll get back to it, mainly because of another game I'm playing, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, it's very much like The Stick of Truth, except that you now have a grid-based battle system. It's not very tactic-y. It still feels like a standard turn-based battle, except with movement here and there. And it's really not about the battle system. It's really about how each character interacts with each other. And, you know, that South Park, granted, I've never watched an episode in years, but it's still one of the most hilarious games I've played. But seeing as how I was a huge fan of The Stick of Truth, this one doesn't really surprise me all that much. So it's not that it's bad. It's just that I feel like I've played it before. And then there's Super Mario Odyssey, which is totally amazing. Chris already talked about it at length. The one thing that I would mention here is, yeah, you can relate it to Korok seeds in Zelda, but the fact of the matter is this game is centered around you trying to find all these moons rather than in Zelda, where they were entirely optional. You need a certain number of power moons in order to get to each new level. But the fact that there are so many really makes it it really gives Mario the kind of feeling you had in Zelda, where if you see a new shrine you haven't been to, you want to go to that area. So it's the same thing with the moons here. And the main thing is, I don't know if you guys remember in Super Mario Sunshine, the so-called secret levels, where if you enter them, you actually just go into a platforming segment without using Flood.
Yeah, I mentioned that with the rocket. Yeah. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, so Odyssey has those too, except that while there is like a specific moon that you're trying to get, there's also 100% chance that there'll also be another one there. So it really rewards you for just being curious and exploring every nook and cranny. And this is also the same case for the 2D segments that are in the game, which to me are extremely impressive. They're really simplistic, but it also really rewards you for trying to find alternative platforms to jump on. Like at the first kingdom, the Cascade Kingdom, you can actually jump to some sort of platform off screen, continue to move right with the camera panning right, and then you'll find a secret hidden moon there. So, it just adds a whole another dimension to the kind of platforming it is. And I've never really been much for the collectathons, but this one is really good, and it's a breath of fresh air as far as platforming goes. And even though it's already been a huge year for platformers, you know, we've had Crash Bandicoot, we have another Sonic that's actually good, we had Yooka-Laylee, which was actually sort of disappointing, and yeah, Mario continues to set the bar for where these platformers can go, and it's definitely one of my top pick games of the year. I haven't decided whether it's better than Zelda yet, but I'll tell you that I've smiled a whole lot more while playing this game. So, really impressed.
Yeah. So, cool. That's a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. How are you getting on with the motion controls? Is that something that's...
Motion controls... The main time you'll have to use them is if you want to use your hat as a homing gun, which you really shouldn't have to do. My main issue with the game is the camera work. It's not perfect, but what camera is?
Yeah. So, all right. So, guess we'll be looking. Yeah, I hear you. So we'll be looking forward to a review then, I suppose.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So. All right, with that in mind, let's just move on to The Shrapnel. And these are a few little short stories that have come up over the week. So we'll start off with Wolfenstein 2 came out on Friday, and people were surprised that it didn't have multiplayer. Because this is news, apparently, now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really a whole hell of a lot to say there, given the fact that Machine Games hasn't had multiplayer in any of the Wolfenstein games.
Bethesda in general doesn't really have multiplayer except for Doom, I guess.
Yeah, so. Doom, and yeah, Bethesda's not really huge into the whole multiplayer type, always online stuff. I guess even Doom, they had to scale back the multiplayer because it sucked. So yeah, it was basically a redo, and they had to bring.
And they exported out to another company.
Yeah, and then they figured out that was a bad idea and brought it back in house. So. Yeah, Wolfenstein doesn't have multiplayer, but that doesn't mean it's not a good game. It's actually looking to be very good. So, yeah, check that out. Should be, we'll definitely have a review on the site. Brandon is very eagerly playing it right now. Well, not at this moment, but
anyway.
You never know.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he picked this week to not be here. So.
Well, there is that. Yeah. Family reunion. Maybe his extended family are Nazis. No, maybe not. It is. We love you, Brandon. So moving on to that, we have... What? Oh, yeah. OpenCritic have opened up their own forums. I'm not entirely sure that the timing of this is coincidental with the implosion of NeoGAF.
Yeah. It's coincidental.
Mm. Yeah?
Yeah, it's been in the workings for a while.
Yeah. Well, still. I do like the fact that now we have another place. Hopefully people will migrate over to there, and maybe policing. This is going to be a really pain in the ass for them because, there will be a
good
lot
luck,
of NeoGAF. Yeah, there will be a lot of NeoGAF refugees that show up there. Some of them were pretty good, and some of them were just the toxic slime of the world. So... Yeah, you make of that what you will, but
now they'll be on a site that's obsessed with review scores.
Yeah, well, that's just what they do. They're the crack site. They're
but it's like the user reviews on Metacritic aren't exactly a shining beacon of what sort of community those sites can bring together.
Yeah. To be fair, I think OpenCritic is a little bit more, consumer focused than. Yeah, the Metacritic was, so yeah, we'll see what happens. It's free to sign up, so you can go over there and sign up for the forums. So another real quickie here. I don't know how this happened, but somebody posted a fake Jim Sterling review about Super Mario Odyssey. He gave it allegedly gave it a 7 out of 10.
Shit.
Yeah, and of course the Nintendo fanboys went completely apeshit and, started trolling the shit out of it, and nobody bothered to, do any due diligence, like going to the website and seeing if that was actually a thing. They just took
the
screenshot as gospel. Because, critical thinking is something that nobody actually has anymore.
God damn it.
But yeah, so of course the best thing that Jim could have done would be to make a video out of it and troll the shit out of them, which is exactly what he did. So that was awesome. Yeah. Just, I mean, we've talked about fake reviews before. There are sites that kind of scammy reviews. But I don't think I've ever seen somebody do a fake review and attribute it to somebody else for the specific reason of trolling them. I'm not entirely sure.
That's getting kind of meta.
Yeah, something is just weird there. So, yeah. There will be a real Super Mario Odyssey review from him. So, yeah. And if he gives it a 7 out of 10, well, we can expect probably the same reaction.
That would be delicious, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it kind of would be, but... So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that. So we had a new Switch firmware version, I think 4.0 that just came out recently.
I want to say 4.0, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I guess 4.0.0.
Yeah.
They use that weird numbering
thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they can do point releases later and just add to it. So it's got a couple of interesting new features. One of them is support for the GameCube controller via the Wii U adapter.
Does anyone need this one translated for them?
No. Well, it really shouldn't need good. That. Smash, Wii U, or... well, Smash not Wii U, but Smash Switch. Also, potentially Wii U VC. Well, assuming they actually ever get the VC going in the first place.
From what Reggie said, it's not intended. It's more of a... They're supporting more third-party controllers.
Yeah.
And that just happens to work like that, so it gets automatic support.
Yeah.
Does anyone need that translated for?
Sure it does.
Either way, the Pro Controller is the best controller Nintendo's had in years. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also There's also one other little feature that was kind of overlooked by a lot of people, and that's wireless headset support.
That's huge, actually, for them.
Yeah. Still requires the app to use it, but there. It's progress. Eventually, you'll be able to actually have on-console chat. But, hey. Baby steps, right?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, we're not even to baby steps yet. We're still crawling.
Okay. So... this just happened recently. Combo Fiend has left Capcom and is now able to compete again. So that's kind of cool. And for anybody who has to go up against them.
Yeah, the Marvel community is on notice at the very least. Probably also the Dragon Ball FighterZ and BlazBlue Tag communities when they show up. Anime fighters are just... I don't know. He's a particular talent for that, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does now that he's back after what was a 5-year layoff working for Capcom.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, I'm pretty sure is something that he actually did enjoy doing.
But, oh yeah. Well, you know. He says as much. He says it's time to give the next generation of FGC developers a chance.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a bit of a free Combo Fiend hashtag going around that asking for Capcom to release him to compete. This is pretty much the same thing, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, look forward to seeing what comes of it, because, yeah, this is quite the player that is being unleashed.
Yep. So, and just in time, too. So.
Yep.
Although I kind of doubt Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is going to have much of a life, so it's...
Well, it's not going to be his fault.
No.
He's going to turn loose on it.
Yeah.
I can promise you that much.
Yep. All right, so now we'll get on to the more in-depth topics of the show. We'll start off with we talked about it last week, that the original Xbox backwards compatibility was imminent, and it turned out it came out 2 days later. So, yeah, original Xbox games, there's 13 of them so far.
Are all these the original, the Xbox originals from the 360? Seemed like a very similar list.
Most of them, except Neowave, I don't think.
Neowave was an Xbox original, but it didn't run very well on the 360.
Yeah. Which is weird, because in the listings for these, they say that they play on Xbox One and Xbox 360. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I think the Xbox One versions actually run a lot better than the 360 ones did. I also noticed that when I was looking through the store, I couldn't find Neowave, so I don't know what's going on there. So maybe somebody just forgot to flip the switch.
I think it just went up a little late.
Yeah, so
that's what I was hearing.
Yeah. But if you want to check it out, you can do a trial of the Xbox Game Pass, and Ninja Gaiden Black is in there. So,
I'm wondering if Ninja Gaiden works.
Ninja Gaiden Black?
Ninja Gaiden.
Oh.
I have that on disc. I wonder if that works, or if it's specifically black.
Yeah, I think
one way
it's
to find
specifically
out.
Black, but yeah, you can throw it in and see what it does. But
all right, YouTube video incoming. Because the disc, does it work?
Yeah.
Disc roulette, just start putting in discs.
Just putting random discs in and see what happens. Hey,
one thing that I found rather troubling, they said that they're deliberately going with the concept of the curated list because of things like licensing that will affect some of the games.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well for Project Gotham.
Yeah, there's all kinds of weird licensing to go on with that one.
A lot of it.
Yeah, lots of music all that of have the to music. Be redone. Well, relicensed at the very least. Crap. Plus the fact that the studio is completely defunct now. But it was a Microsoft studio, so technically they could get it.
Yeah, I think they got it by default.
Yeah. So... but yeah, so with
the weird thing is Red Faction 2 is $15 compared to everything else.
I don't know why. We should point out if you have the original disc, you can throw it in and just play it.
Yeah,
it will download just like the Xbox 360 PC does. But they're also available to purchase if you don't have a disc. And yeah, given the price of some of those games now, might actually be worth just purchasing it digitally, because I don't know if you checked the price of Ninja Gaiden Black lately.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah. So there's that. So what are you guys looking forward to as far as games that might come out to the platform at some point?
Just a whole bunch of Sega.
All of the Otogis, basically.
It's all the Otogis, JSRF, Banjo-Dragoon Order, Shenmue 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is how we get the Shenmue 2 1 thing.
I don't think so.
Go with real backdoor from what the rumors kept saying. Like, oh, it's already done. They're just waiting on it for some reason.
Yeah, I think we get the HD collection pretty soon. I would be surprised if that doesn't just show up in the next month or so, because Sega has done that before, where they just release a game that they haven't even talked about. Like, remember the PC version of Bayonetta that just appeared?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll do that. I really would like to see the two Project Gotham games for the for the original Xbox. This is weird. Now you got the Xbox One and the Xbox One.
Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Box One X.
X.
Box One.
So,
can we not?
So now we've got the Xbox One S. We have the Xbox One X.
Yeah, those two don't sound alike.
No,
those two don't.
So now they need what is it? It's like are they doing a Tesla thing now? They're going to do the Xbox One E. So they have Xbox One Sex.
Oh God! Can we really not?
It almost seems like they're setting that up. So, anyways, but yeah, it's out. Check out Xbox Game Pass if you just want to try out some of those games for a little while. Ninja Gaiden Black is part of that, among other games for Xbox One and Xbox 360. So,
Outrun 2006, another really good one that probably won't happen.
Hmm.
Yeah, potential issue with this stuff is obviously Xbox Live doesn't work on these
for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like there's DLC for Knights of the Old Republic you can't get.
Yeah.
Give it time.
Yeah. It's like...
I don't think EA is going to miss a chance to sell more DLC.
Yeah. So it should be pointed out that those DLCs that you have bought for Xbox One are for the original Xbox when Live was around are still on your account. I checked. I still have all my full set of PGR 2 DLC. So,
oh wow! Just how do you access it?
Yeah, I can't get it.
There's no Live.
But,
well, obviously we're fucked.
Oh, I don't know.
It would have been nice if those were somehow baked into these downloads.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
No, they're going to find a way to sell it back to us.
Yeah, but my guess is we do see the Xbox Live Legacy platform come in. It's server-wise, it's a bit tricky to do because of how much change has happened over the years. You know, when the original Xbox One launched, you could only have... I think it was like 100 friends at most. And then eventually that limit persisted and was eventually with the Xbox One current gen. Yeah. Is no longer a thing. Now we have a follow-back model. So if they set up virtual servers for the old legacy stuff and just figure out a way to pipe a gamer tag into it, that could work. You know, there's a lot of smart people at Microsoft. The fact that we've got three generations of backwards compatibility on one platform should be testament to that. Especially given some of the improvements that these original Xbox One games are getting visually by just being emulated. So, yeah, I'm expecting big things from them. And hopefully they just keep supporting it like they do with the Xbox 360 stuff, which has been really good. I mean... Well, they're adding stuff to that all the time.
So. It's true.
Yeah. Shannon Loftus from Xbox has had some interesting things to say about single-player games being complicated. Did you put this in here, Pat?
No.
I did.
Okay.
So essentially, she was talking to GameSpot, especially on single-player. In the wake of the whole Visceral Games and Star Wars thing that happened. She says here, game development in general is about a couple of things, about delivering an experience, and it's about telling stories. Storytelling is central to game development as it's ever been. She's kind of focusing this on story-focused single-player games,
mm-hmm.
sort of saying making... I don't think it's dead per se. I do think the economics of taking a single-player game and telling a very high-fidelity, multi-hour story getting a little more complicated. Gamers want higher fidelity, and they want higher resolution graphics.
No, they don't.
That's what the Microsoft narrative is. Because they got a console to sell you next week.
Yeah.
That's going to push
that. They would just tell you to stop fucking with the narrative.
Yeah, because it's like Sony and Nintendo have had a great deal of success with single-player games this year.
Hmm.
With Mario, Zelda, Horizon, there's Nier Automata from Square Enix. Seems like they're doing pretty much just fine, depending on whether the publisher is intent on maximizing as much revenue as they can out of it, or you get Shadow of War.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's and Forza, as we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
See, I would think single-player economics would be the most simple thing possible. You release a game without multiplayer, it's going to have a finite lifespan. You know, eventually you're going to have seen everything, and you're not going to have that multiplayer component adding on to the game's lifespan. So you send them out to – you're sending your players out to buy the next game.
Yeah.
At least
that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Or you use the best possible experience possible, and maybe they'll buy the next one or tell their friends about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Wolfenstein 2, which is getting a lot of buzz right now.
Yeah.
And it's completely single player. And it is high fidelity.
And it's like if you make good choices as far as like the developer, the how much funding you give the game, you can easily make back all your money plus more. I think I saw Hellblade, yeah. Ninja Theory's single-player game they released all on their own.
Yeah.
They're saying that they were expecting to potentially break even about 8 or 9 months in, and they say that's probably going to happen in the next couple weeks, about 3 months in.
Wow. Good
for them.
Yeah. And it's like they funded it all on their own, came up with ways to trim the fat as far as the budget and the tools they're using to try to make a game that looks as good as they can, but not trying to break the bank and sort of sink themselves. And it's like you just have to be responsible. Microsoft has shown they're not really with that this generation. They've had a lot of original IPs and all that and zero sequels to talk about. Outside of Ori, I think this is one of the few. But it's like D4 was very much single-player story-focused, and they released it without any marketing.
Yeah.
Well, of course that failed. you didn't market it with any of the personality and without Swery using him to help push it. He had to essentially just beg people to tell their friends on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you got Rise, which probably did okay. Then I think they had a deal. They wanted to make a new deal with Cryptic to give them the IP to make a sequel.
Hmm.
Like they could work on a sequel, but it would become Microsoft's IP.
Yeah.
Like they said no. No. Now we have no sequel, and no deal, and they're possibly gonna shut down. That's more because Cryptic has probably expanded too much, too quickly.
Crytek, yeah.
Crytek, yeah.
Yeah.
They decided to make a ton of games, and not enough of them hit.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, the problem with this whole multiplayer-focused games as a service is that these publishers don't seem to realize that this has a limited shelf life as well. You know, you'll get a short-term pop, but, you know, 6-7 months in, it starts to plateau, and then the numbers start to go down. You know, it's kind of the mobile model. It's very hard, to keep players, interested without, you know, being complete jerks, and then if you do that, well, then you just drive them away anyway.
Yeah, so. Especially as far as publishers are concerned, like, Rocket League is still doing really well. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds continues to keep going upward.
Yeah.
With those two games, these aren't going to be annualized installments. What's annoying is when publishers try to do that with like Battlefield or, you know, Call of Duty, whatever it may be. Like, if you want to do games as a service, fine. But if I have to keep paying the full price for your game every year, why should I be a part of your economy?
Yeah. EA's at least wisely said, we don't need to make this every year. Because we had Battlefield 1 last year. When was 4? That was 2013. It's like they're kind of at least spacing those out, though. DICE is working on other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, not really, because in you know, we had Battlefield 4 in 2013, then there was Hardline, and then
yeah, though that was Visceral, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Visceral.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one didn't do so well.
We got Call of Duty, where it's kind of coming in at its lowest point. Mm. Where they went out and really tried the future thing with Infinite Warfare.
Yeah.
Seemed like it was received well, but not well enough that they wanted to keep going that way. Now they're going back to World War II. And there's kind of been as low a hype for a Call of Duty game as I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. Infinite Warfare, for all the shit that we give it, actually was a good game, and it probably would have done better if it didn't have the Call of Duty name attached to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, there's expectations with the Call of Duty game, and that just kind of, well, it kind of threw everything out the window, you know. It was, so kind of feel like, you know, if they had just called it Infinite Warfare or picked some other name, whatever.
But I think then they would have not released a Call of Duty game that year, and you would have had a lot of people running around with anxiety.
Oh, it wouldn't have been that bad. Because, you know, a lot of these people who play the Call of Duty games, they play the multiplayer and actually would prefer that there was a little bit more longevity to that particular installment's multiplayer.
Yeah, because they keep releasing those packs, and they pretty much release them right up to the release of the next game.
Yeah.
I think the last Call of Duty Infinite Warfare pack released probably August or September.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, now your community is going to be there for 2 more months. You release your new game and expect them all to come over.
Yeah.
After paying $50 for that DLC.
Yeah.
It's like that's their whole thing with like the loot crates plus the season pass plus the game. It's like you guys are just asking them to give you tons of money. You seem to be mostly giving it to them, but then just trying to kill off the games as fast as possible.
Yeah. It's not a model that's really sustainable.
Yeah. Especially when those older games are getting hacked.
Yeah. And also I should point out that one of the most popular Xbox 360 back compat games is Black Ops, and that's still getting a lot of multiplayer.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just shows people do want that multiplayer to have legs. You know,
so I think one of their best things they did was release a bunch of the new zombie maps for Black Ops 3.
Yeah.
Like a year after Infinite Warfare came out.
Yeah.
It's like, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. There's still people playing that.
This is a shame that it's literally competing with the next game.
Yeah.
You're asking people to spend, you know, okay, you want zombies, you can go back here. But then your multiplayer community is probably mostly with the new game.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of a mess. And, you know, it's... not exactly surprising from Activision. This is the franchise that, you know, ran Tony Hawk and Guitar Hero into the ground with way too many releases. So, yeah. Bobby Kotick is the devil. Just like that.
Yeah.
It is. So moving on, we got details about Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. This is the, I believe, the mobile installment of the game?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it seems like mobile Animal Crossing. They've reduced the scope a little bit, so you're not necessarily dealing with the whole towns with the people and all that, but you are on, like, a camping ground.
Hmm.
You can do all the shopping and all that, but you can also go out and just collect resources to craft your... stuff for your home, your furniture, and all that.
Yeah, so it's also worth noting that instead of building a house, you just have a camping ground to maintain.
Yeah. And so you can... Seems like you have more control over that, whereas just having this house that you just fill with your crap and try to, like, create a path so you can actually get around. Like, that whole weird thing of managing your inventory, like, okay, I pick this up, I put this down over here... Then I can go over here, pick this up, and then I can build my path through this thing.
Yeah.
Just so
this
I can
doesn't
have
sound
these...
like something I actually want to play, because I do this in real life.
Yeah. I mean, but then you can get better stuff here. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be free to play. It's coming out in November. You got a lot of the merchant type people to interact with, as well as you can do some of the friend stuff. Sort of visit their towns, get ideas for things to build and all that. And it seems like it's going to be pretty much a faithful adaptation of the series to mobile.
Yeah, I mean, they aren't downsizing the experience all that much. You do have a camping ground instead of a house, but, you know, the whole it looks like the whole feng shui kind of dynamic in... you know, decorating your home is still there. And then if you really want your place to be themed,
that's where the entire depth of the economy comes in. So yeah, it's a mobile game. There's going to be microtransactions in there, but it's going to be for one main form of currency, and there are still bells which you can still get the normal play. Apparently the game is already available in Australia, but that's the way mobile betas work, because they aren't allowed to actually call them betas. And yeah, Christian actually just changed his iTunes account to an Australian one just to play it, so I might have him review the game. So it's looking cool so far. The main thing is that he can't spend, because you can't use any Australian currency in America. So yeah, we'll get to that bridge when it comes to it. But it looks like the people who are going to spend this game are the people who are like really intense about having their home be a certain theme, or if they want like certain villagers to be there, because the items you have are going to impact on which villagers will want to stay near you. So it's a pretty cool thing they got going on.
Yeah. Yep, and guess who's running the microtransactions?
I don't know. It's a
Tom Nook.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Never mind. I'm a bit more literal there. That asshole.
It's like they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, yep. They totally know what they're doing. And, Nintendo's had very interesting track record as far as their mobile has gone. Miitomo wasn't the hugest hit. I think it did okay worldwide, but it wasn't their biggest draw. Mario Run actually did pretty well despite the $10 charge. It seems there were people who were willing to spend on that. Granted, they didn't get a huge conversion rate, but they got enough for it to be viable. Fire Emblem Heroes is apparently done really well.
That's making a killing.
Yeah. Done, like, yeah, with all the gacha mechanics and all that are in there. And yeah, the fact that you really do want to build up those heroes as best you can. So, yeah, I think this will probably do pretty damn well. And it's kind of nice to see how Nintendo has handled these mobile games. It's they haven't really, you know, neutered them too much, you know. Apart from Fire Emblem, when they changed the size of the grid to be really, really small. But, you know, that didn't actually affect it that much.
So, yeah, it's really going to be interesting to see what they do with Animal Crossing Switch. Should it come out sooner in 2018?
Yeah, there's good possibilities there for, mobile to Switch cross-compatibility of some kind. Mm-hmm. Not sure how they would want to do it, but there's possibilities there.
I haven't actually confirmed it, but like someone was telling me that the Japanese version of the Animal Crossing mobile game will actually have some compatibility with New Leaf. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for that. And we should also keep an eye out for Paris Games Week.
Yes.
Which Sony is claiming to be part two of E3.
About damn time.
Yeah, a little late, guys. So they're saying 7 new game announcements.
Yep.
Something like that.
VR and the regular PS4.
Regular PS4 and Pro. Yeah. This is going to happen. Where is that?
It's tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. They're also doing a pre-show. If E3 is any indication, you have to watch the pre-show, too, if you want to get all their announcements.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will report
8 a.m. for the pre-show. 9 a.m.
In just over a month, we have PlayStation Experience.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I don't think we're going to this one.
No, it's the same weekend as the Zelda Symphony, so I can't go this year.
Yeah. Bummer. Oh, well. It will be live streamed, so, yeah, get up early and watch that. So,
yeah.
I really hope for some, you know, returns of some very long lost IPs, like, you know, Jumping Flash. That'd be nice.
I'm not gonna hold my breath there. I think the main thing with Sony now is that, you know, there really hasn't been much such talk from them since Horizon came out. And the main thing is that you look at their holiday release schedule. they've pretty much strayed away from it. They're just letting their third parties handle the bulk of the action there. And you go into, you know, January, February, March, you know, I don't know when we can expect Spider-Man or what's it called, Shadow of the Colossus, but I'd expect some early release dates to, you know, get a big jump on 2018.
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man, it was supposed to have been this year, but it got pushed. So they missed that holiday.
I don't think anyone's complaining about that. So.
No. Yeah. I'd rather have a good Spider-Man game than a rushed one.
Yeah.
So here's that. And Shadow of the Colossus, it'll come out when the hell it comes out. Game like that does take a long time to make. So, yeah. Also, single player. Should point that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what we've got left from Sony this year is the expansion for Horizon.
Yeah.
Frozen Wilds, I think it is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's next week?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, is it?
I think it's the 7th.
Okay. December 7th.
Which is when the Hitman stuff hits and the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Any word on whether the expansion is a direct continuation from the end of the story, or is it just some new stuff?
I have to look.
Okay. Because, that first one ended quite a... It was a cliffhanger, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is a continuation.
Google search, autofills, Horizon Zero Dawn, Xbox One.
That great. Doesn't work.
Great. Yeah. They wish.
Thank you, yeah. Google. For telling me what I want. What I was thinking there. It's a good thing I didn't hit it. I feel lucky.
Yeah.
Let's see. Beyond the Northern Mountains, the borderlands of the Banek tribe challenge all who dare enter to survive the extremes. Now this frozen wilderness harbors a new threat for Aloy, a new mystery, one she's determined to solve.
Okay, nothing to do with the overall story.
Yeah, cool. New story, new area, new machines. All that stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll release another expansion that will
continue. No, it'll be Horizon 2.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, this game made a killing. It's a new IP, so if Sony's going to do that, well, it's good for them.
Yeah, and we'll probably still buy it.
Hell yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think if you pre-order that, it's 25% off, so $15 instead of $20. Yeah. November 7th.
Should probably do that now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be on disc, so you may as well do that.
Yeah.
We got the Xbox One X coming the 7th of November. I know, Chris, you've got one ordered.
Yeah, probably pick it up on that day, not do midnight.
Yeah.
Because I got to work the day before, so no ability to stay up.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll report back and see how that goes. Hopefully you've got all your games and stuff on the...
I have to play my Kinect channel. Names now, because that's not really going to happen on that thing.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing the free adapter thing anymore.
No.
I'm not paying $40 to play Fru.
Nope. Yeah, anyways... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you do the transfer your games over, because I know they added network transfer recently, which is helpful. So, check that out.
My Xbox One won't play Blu-rays. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Ooh, yeah, I had that happen.
What'd you do?
I had to change the drive.
God damn it.
And that was a process and a half, because, yeah, no. I could get... Yeah, okay, I'll just briefly outline it. Changing the drive on the Xbox One is kind of irritating, because you can buy drives on eBay. That's fine. That's easy. But the drive and the motherboard are married.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I literally had to... desolder the controller board from my old Blu-ray drive, and then solder it to the new Blu-ray drive, and then it would work. So
I guess I'm in the market Microsoft. For an Xbox One S, guys.
Yeah, if you want to,
that's the Microsoft solution. Buy the new console.
Yep,
it's a day one edition. God damn it! Okay. Yeah.
Now, if it is a day one edition, it's probably worth fixing. It's not hard to do. It's just a pain in the ass. you have to know how to solder, and you know, if you don't, you find somebody who does. It's, you know, it takes about 45 minutes to do the whole thing. Most of it is just opening that that whole console up, because it's a lot of clips and stuff to get into.
So, I guess I'll just use it as a game console then.
Yeah, with downloads. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it will work if you completely unplug the drive. So you could probably, well, if you really wanted to, you just do that and not have to worry about it. But yeah, just use it as a game console, and it kind of works that way. Besides, you got a PS4 anyway, so we'll play Blu-rays on that.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure Cuphead will allow me to throw it out the window, so that's fine.
Cuphead, yeah. But anyways. So we have a show for this week, folks. As usual, you can check us out at smashpad.com, where we have interesting content going up somewhat regularly. We were also on Facebook, facebook.com/smashpadsocial, and facebook.com/dayzerooupdate. You can subscribe to the show at iTunes or Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. So with that, I am Filippo D'Adolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Daniel Victoria.
And we'll see you next week.